Romans chapter 3. Sermons by Paul C. Jong. Sermon 3. The work of saving us from sin is the Lord's righteousness. Romans chapter 3 verses 19 through 31. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness. Because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. It is a truly thankful thing that today we can preach and also hear the Word of God. These days are a time when a great disaster has come upon this country, and the whole nation is submerged in sorrow. It is a great grace that even in the midst of such a situation, we can live holding on to the Word of God. The three streams of Christianity and our place. We must know at least this much. Christianity can be broadly divided into three streams. They are evangelicalism, Reformed theology, and charismaticism. Evangelicalism is saying that if you believe in Jesus, there is no sin, and Reformed theology is believing while continuing to fix wrong things according to the Word of God. Today's visible major denominations, such as Presbyterianism and Baptism, correspond to Reformed theology. Charismaticism emphasizes speaking in tongues, makes speaking in tongues the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit, and places miracles, wonders, and healing of diseases at the center of faith. Then where do I and you belong? Because the gospel of the water and the Spirit is exactly the gospel of salvation that God gave us, we are closest to evangelicalism. However, we do not fully belong to any of evangelicalism, charismaticism, or Reformed theology. We belong only to God. Evangelicalists say there is no sin, but practically they have sin. A person who truly has no sin is bound to try to keep the law even in small matters, and fear and be careful even about trivial faults. However, there are people who repeatedly do irresponsible things in their actions while saying with their mouths that they have no sin. Taking human life lightly and pursuing only one's own profit is such an appearance. The results brought by wrong faith. In God so loved the world often points to us humans. He said that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in Him should not perish but obtain eternal life. That was God's plan. However, evangelicalists have not been able to properly preach that gospel and have distorted it. Some people's sermons are nothing but their own stories and boasting from beginning to end. Other people's sermons consist entirely of illustrations. Stories like how they caught some disease but prayed with faith and got healed without even taking medicine continue endlessly. Did they actually get healed? Wouldn't they have gone to the hospital? They probably went. However, they speak in such a way to the church members. Also, in some organizations, they rejected professional medical treatment and said one would be healed if they just ate a specific product. So there were incidents where many people passed away while relying on it. Such incidents show the fact that wrong faith threatens not only a person's soul, but even their life. I think about how thankful a thing it is to be able to preach the Word of God. How blessed a thing is it that you all can also hear the Word of God. If I stood here and only boasted about myself, did not preach the Word of God, and only told irrelevant stories, how hard would it be for you? When I stand in this place, if possible, I do not tell my story much. If by chance there is a time I tell my story, it is when I talk about my inadequacy, my lacking, and my weakness. If you ask why I talk about that, it is to support the fact that the Lord saved me, a person like this, with the gospel of the water, the blood, and the Spirit. If I drag out your mistakes and talk about them, you would be embarrassed, so I am telling my story as a representative. Today, rather than other stories, it is good that I can preach the Word of God. It is good that you can hear the Word. And it is good that our books go out overseas and this gospel is propagated. Even looking back on the past days, I am truly thankful. Therefore, today as well, I selected this word to briefly preach the gospel. By the law, no one can obtain being justified. It is recorded like this in verses 19 and 20. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The Apostle Paul is speaking about the law. If you ask what he is speaking about the law, it is that the law is what God gave in order to put all people under God's judgment. The law is God's law. He gave that law to let us know that we have sin. The Apostle Paul says that there is no one who will be justified before the law. It means there is no one who can say before God's law that they have not committed sin by deeds, by mind, or by anything else. Therefore, through the law, we come to realize sin, and through the law, we come to know that we are all sinners. This word is teaching us that there is no one who is not a sinner. So in denominations belonging to Reformed theology, such as Presbyterianism, the Holiness Church, Baptist churches, and Anglicanism, they are living a life of faith, thinking that it is enough to keep the law well while believing in Jesus. But that is greatly wrong. Because God Himself declared that there is no one who can say they have no sin by human deeds before the law. They try hard to keep the law well while believing in Jesus, but in reality, it is not kept. Therefore, they become sinners every day. As they become sinners every day, they are tormented because of their own sins. And thus they become unable to love others. A person who can love others is a person who has room in their heart, and the person who has that room is a person who has received the removal of their sins. Even if the same inadequacy is revealed every day, because they believed the word given through the gospel of the water, the blood, and the Spirit, and received the blotting out of sin, they can overlook and love other people's inadequacies. While considering, because you are a human and I am a human, we can be inadequate and it can be so. And while exhorting to no longer do bad things and try to live righteously, they can love each other with the faith that the Lord loved us and saved us. the limit of the faith that believes only in the blood of the cross. People who live a life of faith in Reformed theology do believe in Jesus, but they believe only in the blood of the cross. Since they believe only in the blood of the cross, what guides their life after that is the law. They try to live according to the law and according to God's will, but they keep becoming weak and transgressing it. Then they become sinners. Even believing only in the blood of the cross, they are still sinners. But since they even transgressed the law, they become even more of a sinner. Because they become sinners, they try hard to receive the elimination of sin through prayers of repentance. But that is only once or twice. They continuously go before the cross and say, "Thank you, Lord, for shedding blood for me. I committed such and such sins, but I will absolutely never commit them again. So please forgive only this sin," thus making a settlement with God. Then they gain a temporary sense of relief in their hearts and have confidence, saying, "God must have forgiven this sin too." Even so, as they live on, they commit sin again. They commit sin again, pray the same prayer of repentance again, make a settlement with God in the same way, and as they go on like that, unresolved sins pile up. As things that could not solve the problem even by making a settlement with God pile up, later on, they discover themselves to be shameless, committing sin every day and coming before the cross every day, saying, "Lord, please forgive me," for the first one or two times, brings up a heart saying, "I am truly thankful to the Lord." But as this repeats, later on, out of conscience, a heart arises saying, "How can I lift my face before the Lord and ask Him to forgive my sins?" So they go to church leaders and ask, "I committed these sins and am so tormented. Is there no way to receive the removal of sin?" Then they teach them, "The longer you believe in Jesus, the bigger sinner you become, and that is extremely normal. When it is time to die, you offer all prayers of repentance at the end and die. So at that time you are completely transformed to be holy and go to heaven." Hearing those words, it sounds plausible. But why must one repent all at once at the moment of death? While living, as one commits sin again and commits sin again, even according to one's own conscience, one loses face. Because there is sin, it is tormenting. Therefore, with the Reformed faith, one cannot fully receive the blotting out of sin, because the gospel itself is not a whole gospel. The gospel of the water and the Spirit that solves even actual sins at once. The blood of the cross is a true treasure and salvation because the Lord shed His blood for us. However, by believing only that the Lord died on the cross, the actual sins we commit every day after believing in Jesus can never be solved. Our human life is not something that ends by believing in Jesus just once and receiving the removal of sin once or twice. Because we commit sin from birth to death, from the cradle to the grave, practically believing in Jesus is for a moment. But we commit sin every moment we breathe every day. Because of that, to receive the elimination of all those sins, we must know the fact that the Lord came to this earth and took charge of all our sins at once by being baptized by John the Baptist. We must know the truth. Only then does a thankfulness arise, saying, "Even though I am this inadequate, the Lord took charge of even this sin." We come to know the fact that the Lord hanging and dying on the cross just once was receiving the judgment for my sins, and His receiving baptism was an act to take charge of all the sins in our hearts that we commit on this earth. At that time, we received the blotting out of sin by believing the fact that He saved us through Jesus' baptism and the blood of the cross. If we cannot do so, and say we believe only in the blood of the cross, like the Reformed faith? Where would we go to solve the behavioral sins we commit every day? Would we solve them before the cross? If one has a conscience of their own, how could they go and beg every day? One might be able to do that for a few years after believing in Jesus, but as a long time passes, they eventually become unable to do so. The sanctification doctrine of Presbyterianism teaches that after believing in Jesus, one gradually changes to become holy. But are they actually changing like that? When a person is young, committing sin is little. As a person grows compared to when they were young, their thoughts and desires become complicated, and to that extent, the appearances of sin are revealed more diversely. Then, when one gets old, does committing sin become more or less? It becomes more. In fact, we are not gradually becoming worse, but we were born as inadequate beings from the beginning. The righteousness of God manifested apart from the law. Through the law, we come to know that we are sinners and come to realize sin. After that, the Apostle Paul speaks like this about the righteousness of God in verses 21 and 22. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. What is the righteousness of God here? It is exactly the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The Lord coming to this earth wearing human flesh to save us from sin, taking charge of our sins by receiving baptism, being crucified and shedding blood, and dying on the cross while bearing the sins of the world, and coming back to life to save us. That is the righteousness of God. There is a right thing that God did for us, and that is exactly God the Father's Son Jesus coming to this earth, wearing human flesh, becoming Jesus Christ, taking charge of our sins in his own body, just like his name, and sacrificing himself to save us from sin. That is God's righteousness. Then what is the rightness of me and you? Living for the Lord and living for the propagation of the gospel is the rightness of me and you. Therefore, because salvation is not possible by the law, the righteousness of God was manifested. God loved us, came to this earth, and manifested this righteous work of saving us by water and blood. Therefore, we obtain salvation by faith. We obtain salvation not by keeping the law, but by faith. God's law applies to everyone, whether they believe in Jesus or do not believe, and the more one knows the law, the more one comes to realize that they are a sinner. The function of the law plays a role only up to letting a person know you are a sinner. However, God doing a righteous work for us, that is, taking charge of our sins in his own body, being crucified and dying in our place, and coming back to life to save us, is completely different from the law. This is saving us by pulling us out of sin, just like pulling out a person drowning in water. That is exactly God's love and the righteous work God did for me and you. That is the righteousness of God. I and you came to know this righteousness of God that the Apostle Paul spoke of through the gospel of the water and the Spirit. We know and believe the fact that God so loved us, took charge of our sins, and received all the judgment for us, and that that work is a work for me and you. Therefore, we received salvation by faith. The Apostle Paul, who converted on the road to Damascus. The Apostle Paul was a person of very high learning. He was a lawyer, a teacher of the law, and a rabbi. Because of that, he was able to speak so deeply and accurately about the law. The Apostle Paul was a person who knew the Old Testament inside and out. But he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He tried hard to keep the law well and believe in God well. And if he committed a sin, he also offered a sacrificial offering, bringing a sacrifice. Even so, there was still sin. But after coming to know Jesus, he came to know the fact that Jesus came to this earth, received baptism, hung on the cross, and resurrected from death, not just for him alone, but to save all mankind. And he came to realize, I was a person who opposed Jesus. I despised people who could not keep the law well until now. But that was a great pride. It was a great fault. So the Apostle Paul also received salvation by believing the righteous work Jesus did coming to this earth, that work of saving us by water, blood, and the Holy Spirit. So it is said that there is no difference for anyone who believes this. Since God did a righteous work for us, when Jesus received baptism from John the Baptist at the Jordan River, he said, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Here, what is called righteousness means that Jesus receiving baptism is a right act, and because it is a work of taking charge of our sins, it is a righteous work. And the work of Jesus bearing the sin of the world, going to the cross, being nailed, hanging, and dying is also a righteous work. Dying and coming back to life to make anyone obtain salvation, if they only believe in Jesus and the work Jesus did, this is a righteous work. Therefore, Jesus is the Savior and Lord who saved us. The salvation of righteousness received by faith. I believe this. Do you also believe? We have received salvation by faith. Saying that we obtain salvation by faith is not our deed and not our effort, but accepting with the heart and being thankful for that work God did for us. Jesus came to this earth wearing human flesh instead of you, received baptism, took charge of all sins, hung and died on the cross, and died and came back to life, doing the work of saving us. It means receiving salvation by believing in that Jesus. The Apostle Paul is saying that obtaining salvation by faith is not our work, but God did a righteous work of saving us for us, and we obtain salvation by hearing it with ears, believing it with the heart, and confessing it with the mouth. Is it so for you too? It is so. By believing with the heart, we become a person without sin. It is absolutely not that we become a person without sin even without believing. However, we do believe, but it means we must not believe only in the blood of the cross. Let us be saved by faith built upon God's Word. Romans, where these words of the Apostle Paul are recorded, is truly a precious word. There is no other place where the limit of the law and the righteousness of God are recorded so precisely and minutely. By all means, we must pity with our hearts those who are not yet born again, and we must not cause harm to them. If one is a person who has the Holy Spirit in their heart, they do not do things that harm others. They never do things that ruin others. Even if there are times when words go ahead out of anger, if those people torment us, we do not curse them with our hearts. We absolutely do not do so. A person who has received true salvation does not take another's life lightly. If one has truly received salvation, they never do so. People who ignore, belittle, and take another's life lightly must turn back from such wrong faith. I have delivered all the word. Still, what is truly thankful is that we are believing based on God's Word. How thankful a thing is it? It is not a story told as an illustration. Because God's Word says that He has completely eliminated the sins of me and you, we believe that Word, and when we believe so, salvation comes. The Holy Spirit sits in our hearts and acknowledges our faith. Beloved everyone, although we can never obtain being justified by the law, by believing that Jesus came to this earth, took charge of all our sins at once by receiving baptism, and saved us by shedding blood on the cross and receiving all the judgment for that sin, I bless you in the name of the Lord to live obtaining the removal of sin and eternal righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen.